listeners and viewers, welcome to episode 2 with Lisa Schumacher, the Education and Workforce Director at McDonald's Corporation, and Jason Aubrey, the CEO and founder of SkillTrade. Thanks, guys, for coming back. Let's pick up on where we were talking about. We were talking about upskilling and the implications of bringing wide-scale education and training opportunities into a frontline working environment, and how people take advantage of it, how they identify and find pathways to move on. And one of the clearest pathways is one in healthcare, because there's a lot of things mapped out. There still remain challenges. But as you look at your workforce, Lisa, you know, it seems to me that some of the reflections you've had are, you know now better where people are coming in and where they're meeting you. Many more people are coming to McDonald's in point of fact because you're offering this robust educational package. It's really quite an attractor of talent. It's a retainer of talent. It's a developer of talent. And then it's sort of a community, gift next to be getting these folks ready and saying, okay, you're not going to be with us forever, but while you're here, you're going to get soft skills in a store, in a restaurant. You're going to get access to a lot of different education. If you don't speak English, you can come to us and English under the archways, and we'll help you there. I mean, all these things happen. Where do you see the future of this going as you work and as you tweak and as you modify your plans?
Yeah, well, I think let me first start by saying we're going to stay the course, right? I often say that the skills gap and education gap in this country has not yet been solved. So part of the work is to stay the course. So excited that we've been able to do this for 10 years. I mean, I think the reality is that something like 1/5 of the U.S. workforce are in frontline jobs. 1 in 8 Americans have worked in a McDonald's restaurant. So, you know, again, because of our size and scale, we really have the opportunity to have an impact. I think as we move forward, it's looking at continued sort of cross-sector kinds of collaborations. I think AI is going to play a role in how people look at career pathways, how people discover career pathways, how people understand the skills and education that they need for those career pathways. So I think helping folks understand, you know, basic understanding of AI and how it works and how it can support them is going to be important thing for us to lean into. But again, I do think as we move forward in a sort of a world where people are questioning higher ed and questioning the importance of higher ed, that we stay the course, that we continue to talk about the importance of, you know, it doesn't have to be a 4-year degree, but we continue to talk about the importance of gaining new skills and new credentials. You know, if we think about the work Jason does, credentials are important in healthcare, and they're required and they're mandated in healthcare. So I don't think we can lose sight of those types of things.
You know, Lisa, when you talk about the employees coming through the system, you mentioned, that it's still difficult to get data from franchisees because they're not your employers. But McDonald's is virtually alone in having worked with the federal government to address the implicit employer regulation in such a way that you make this benefit available to all franchisees at no cost to the franchisee. I mean, that's unprecedented.
Yeah. Not the case, Ron. Sorry to correct you. Our franchisees and our U.S. business fund the Archways program. So the tuition assistance is covered by both the U.S. business and our franchisees.
Got you. But as you look at that, where do you think that, how are you hearing from employees about the kinds of benefits they want to see in terms of their education going forward? It's, you know, a big part of it, like you said, is staying the course and helping people just, get established with a pathway that excites them and leads them toward meaningful work.
Yeah. And again, I'm going to point to AI because I think there is a world where AI becomes a way to scale those kinds of conversations, right? I mean, the challenge in our system has always been, you know, how do you help get people on a pathway to be a radiology tech or an LPN or an RN, whatever it might be. And it's understanding that those jobs exist. Again, I spent 20 years of my career in healthcare, and you would often talk to frontline employees and they would say, well, I don't want to be a doctor or a nurse. And then we would have a conversation about the hundreds of roles that exist within healthcare, right, than our doctor or nurse, right? If you don't ever want to touch a patient, if you don't ever want to draw blood, and Jason, I appreciate that you have people actually practicing on drawing blood from real humans, because that wouldn't be my preference. But right, like understanding where those career paths lie. I mean, even within a lot of companies, people don't know what the career pathways are within their own company, much less into other sectors, into other fields of study. And so for us, it's making people aware of how the skills they're learning in our restaurants are transferable into other places. We went as far as creating an app, a career navigation app that shows people, you know, as a shift manager, here are the competencies that you have, and here's how they transfer into healthcare, into tech, into finance, into the trades, and other industries.
Jason, your thoughts about shaping career pathways and what the future pathway looks like, you know, in terms of using AI and using other means to help refine that, you know, that direction for people.
Yeah, I think a lot of it for us comes down to career exploration, making sure that students, when they express interest in a specific program, that it is the right program for them. We actually require all of our students to go through a 3-hour introductory course. This course, it not only conveys to the student, hey, this is the type of learning experience that you'll have over the next 13 to 20 weeks, but it also emulates the actual job, which says this is kind of like a day in the life of. Then we actually give them lessons. They have to complete quizzes, right? And so I think this is a good opportunity to make sure that they are actually on the right career path. As part of that, and as part of our enrollment process, you know, we absolutely highlight and surface the upward mobility opportunities. You know, as we grow more partnerships and activations with higher education, you know, for example, we're partnering with the Texas Women's University and working with them on actually identifying those career pathways and that, you know, ultimately, you know, degree attainment. It's a great opportunity. When we work with healthcare employers specifically, they have a large hand in it in the conversations with any of the entry frontline workers that they seek to upskill. And to Lisa's point, right, it's very critical to help individual and prospective students understand, here's what your 5-year plan can look like, right? And here's the funding mechanisms associated with that 5-year plan. And our goal is always to find funding, right, from any other party other than the individual student, right? And so that's a combination of working with workforce boards who have growing number of funds and actually shifting of funds into things like incumbent worker training, right, which is another term for upskilling, or on-the-job training or apprenticeship training. Great models, right? Employers more and more, in my opinion, right, like Lisa was saying, especially at McDonald's, offering education as a benefit, tuition reimbursement. And, you know, I think along the way, that's just, it's honestly one of the best paths to a student, right? We've always also more and more questioning the 4-year degree and the value of it. Obviously, I think there's a huge value in it as long as the student knows exactly what they're signing up for, right? I'm going to spend the next 4 years. I might have X dollars in debt and I want to go get Y occupation, right? If they're confident in that, I think it makes a lot of sense, but that's not the right first step out of high school, as an example, for many people. And as long as we can just actually better educate the market in terms of like, here are the different pathways and here's exactly what you'll need to do along the way, I think then they'll make a more informed decision. Than just inherently, there won't be this negative stigma that I think is growing in the higher education market, because it's not always the higher education institution's fault. Sometimes a student just didn't know any better, right? And they kind of jump right in with that because no one was really helping them, you know, identify that career path.
You know, Lisa, you know, I hear the word public-private partnership when I go to places like CGI, the World Economic Forum, any of these convenings, and you become a master of developing really meaningful partnerships. And I give you a lot of credit because, having done it myself, it's a hard job to bring big organizations with their own agendas together to do that. So can you talk a little bit about what you've learned about creating those effective public-private partnerships? Because, you know, as generous as the benefits program is from McDonald's, McDonald's can't be the sole source provider of, you know, tuition assistance or reimbursement. You know, we need to bring the workforce system into this as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would say for us, the most important partnerships are the partnerships we have with education institutions, right? We are not the provider of the education, to your point, but the partnerships we have with Career Online High School, for example, Colorado Tech University, Western Governors University, those are really a critical piece for us because they understand, because they've been with us for so long, they really understand our population. They understand the folks that work in our restaurants and what their needs are and what their barriers are. I think, you know, to your point, we can't be the be all and end all. And so there are barriers that we need to be removed that we don't have the capacity to do. And so, you know, just as an example, both Career Online High School and Colorado Tech University have success coaches that are part of those programs, right? They understand the adult learner. Those programs are created for adult learners, but those success coaches are there to help folks navigate, you know, the challenges that they face, whether that be personal challenges, work challenges, education challenges, technology challenges. And I will tell you that, especially for our high school graduates through Career Online High School, each and every one of them says, I never would have finished this program if I wouldn't have had that career coach. And so I think it's that assistance that is really a critical piece in those partnerships. You know, I think the other side of it is, so for example, we have an apprenticeship, a cybersecurity apprenticeship at our corporate location at our headquarters. And that, you know, partnership was with Department of Labor because it's a registered apprenticeship program, really helping us to understand what this pathway looks like and how we go through that process. But also with higher ed, with Chicago City Colleges as the trainer, as the education provider in that process.
Well, that's a great example. Those are great examples because I think very oftentimes we hear it at conferences. Oh, we need to do more of that, and people, you know, necessarily raise a hand and say, "Okay, how do you get that done?" And it's clear that you were very selective in terms of which partners you're going to work with. And then the second piece that I take away from this conversation is longevity. You know, taking the time. You know, you have 10 years now of working with partners that now better understand your employees just as you understand them better. You know, Jason, I'd like to pivot to you now and what, you know, some of your reflections about the public-private partnerships that are happening and what you guys have been calling braided funding, where you bring different sources of funding and different sources of providers into the room together and come up with solutions for employees.
Yeah, I mean, I think going back to what I said earlier, one of our core philosophies is that the student should really be the last person to pay for their education, right? So we work and we stack several primary funding sources in a way that minimizes or actually just eliminates out-of-pocket costs for learners, right? The first one is workforce grants, right? This is, I would say, is our first and most important funding layer, right? So we've established and continue to establish really strong relationships with workforce boards, American Job Centers, various nonprofits like Climb Higher, as an example, or Focus Hope, who not only help us bring braided funding, but also third-party additional supportive services. Like these grants are designed to support, you know, unemployed or underemployed individuals and can often cover full cost of tuition, supplies, and certifications. In other instances, right, if those individual students don't qualify, obviously, you know, we're working with employer sponsorships. So directly with healthcare systems and employers to create these sponsorship programs and these opportunities. Right, this could be a direct payment from the employer to us, or it could actually be a reimbursement model between the student and the employer. And I think, you know, that tends to work quite well. And then, right, the last thing is like kind of learner-friendly plans. So if the tuition program costs, let's say, $4,000, but we can only bring $3,000 to the table, that incremental difference, we do offer flexible payment plans. Sometimes we award scholarships for those students as well. So it's you know, part of the biggest challenges is compliance and regulation and being able to be authorized to obtain these funding sources to continuously yield the outcomes that are expected by the organizations that control the funding. But once you've kind of built up that infrastructure, braided funding, it I'm not going to say it becomes easier, but it is a little bit more prominent. And, you know, the more prominent it is, the more people that we can help.
Listeners and viewers, you've been listening to Lisa Schumacher, the Director of Education and Workforce Strategy for McDonald's Corporation, and Jason Aubrey, the founder and CEO of Skilltrade. Thank you both for this conversation. As we wrap for today in episode 2, I want to get your take. If you were to wave a magic wand over the workforce upskilling space and say, okay, we've gotten this far over the last 10 years, now what's next? What would you like to see different and soon?
Yeah, and this is, I think, kind of simple, but it's proving much harder than it should be, is, you know, we should be giving people credit for work experience in a much more streamlined, clearly defined, easy way. As somebody who's worked in our restaurants, let's say for a year, and has gone through our technical training and our hospitality training, should be able to get, again, credit. I'm going to say college credit, because that's what matters right now in this country, for that work experience. And I, you know, it's happening in pockets, but it's not a seamless process by any means. I just think there should be an easier way to do that. So I'd like to wave my wand and make that happen.
And Jason, what about you?
For select positions and roles, I think instead of focusing on 4-year degrees, we need more employers to prioritize skills-based hiring, right? This means recognizing, valuing skills that are learned through high-quality short-term training programs, industry-recognized certifications, and to Lisa's point, on-the-job training and clear pathways and for internal mobility, right? So I think by doing this, we ultimately unlock a new talent pipeline. We can create more equitable and efficient system. And, you know, the ideal candidate for an entry level role is someone who has the right skills, a great attitude, and a strong work ethic.
Great. Thank you both. Listen, nerds and viewers, you've been listening to these two workforce titans, executives in their own rights, making a difference with so many frontline workers out there. We want you to get disrupted. We want you to look at this 5G wired workforce, augmented technology, interconnected, globally interdependent, AI accelerated, Web3 immersive, pandemic interrupted and impacted world of work. And then look at some of the great things that are happening to combat those highly disruptive forces that are bringing change on a massive scale. And these two are making transformation happen within that highly disrupted world of education and training. And I thank you both for the work you're doing. And I hope to see you again on another episode of Disrupt Ed. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time.